Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the program, live and underway from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and we are glad to have you with us. Lots to get to. I think it should be, if it all plays out, a pretty big day in sports. We've got some of the college conferences. I know the Big 12 expected to release their college football schedule today, conference-wide. The Big 10 supposed to announce the football schedule, the new schedule this is, for an updated season with conference-only games today, I believe was the rumor. But there's been a little shakeup in the Big Ten as far as the health situation goes. And I tell you, for a lot of Big Ten teams that had a really good June and not a lot of cases, and then maybe a few more had situations in July, Indiana being one of those, maybe the worst situation as far as numbers and as far as an entire football team being quarantined is what we heard just a couple days ago from Rutgers, that they have a number of athletes on the football team with the virus that tested positive. It linked back, according to an ESPN story that I read, that goes back to a party maybe that was on the Rutgers campus that many of the players may have attended that helped lead to this outbreak. And then yesterday, another report from NJ.com and the Rutgers beat writer that the Rutgers football coronavirus outbreak doubles. And I didn't get an exact number. I don't know if that went from the initial report of 15 that I read to 30. But obviously, it's a massive number when you look at a college football team. And it said that most recently that not only did the cases double, but it also extended to staff members as well, which that's also concerning when you consider the age of some coaches and other staff and support staff that are around the team. So, again, Big Ten schedule, I think we may get it at some point later today. I don't know if the Rutgers thing and just some question marks right now with health would delay that at all so they can wait and see how some of this plays out or if we're going to get a schedule regardless. But, again, it's been consistent. Marlins in the MLB, Cardinals in the MLB, that's the latest in baseball now. Rutgers is kind of taking the forefront with coronavirus cases in college football. And you have to wonder, as we get further into things, and we actually hopefully get to a college football season, if this won't be something that we're talking about on a weekly basis where there's an outbreak here or a team quarantined here. You just think if we were in the season right now, we're less than a month away, basically, right at a month from college football, less than a month from the start of high school football. But if we were in the middle of the season, what if this was in the middle of the season? What if this is week two or three and Rutgers had a game scheduled? It wasn't a bye week, and you know they're going to miss a game. How does that affect the rest of the conference and the schedule? And I think we're starting to see some of the craziness with the MLB games being canceled, teams that play teams with that had played teams with affected players with positive cases are canceling games as well. And this is obviously going to wreak a lot of havoc on the major league schedule there. I think there's a lot of questions to be answered with that. So we're in some of this craziness, and I think it's only going to continue as we see sports play that aren't in a bubble. So far, NBA, so good as far as keeping their players healthy and keeping the virus out, and we'll see if that continues. But that seems to be, so far at least, impressive at this point, the most impressive way to do things. And, of course, that takes a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of sacrifice, just not feasible really for college sports or anything below the professional level. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll cover a lot of stuff today, number of things to talk about. We're going to talk about IU football, a couple big commitments they received over the weekend. We'll also talk some high school sports and maybe an announcement that could come today from the IHSA that we'll tell you about. And a little bit on Trey Kaufman. He was interviewed yesterday by Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. He had some pretty interesting things to say. We'll highlight that story, and we'll also take a look at Rivals recruiting. They ranked the contenders for Trey Kaufman, the recruiting contenders, and we'll tell you how those came out as well a little bit later in our headlines today. Then segment number two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg is always with us on Tuesday. Plenty to talk about with him. And then Mike Pegram joins us for a quick segment later in the program as we'll talk some of the IU sports headlines today with basketball and, of course, some of the football commitments and more. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the new dinner package deals that are now being offered at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can dine in, pickup is available, and curbside service available at Honey Baked Ham if you call ahead. All right, let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and some good IU football news to get to. I didn't cover this yesterday. I meant to, but a couple big commitments for the Hoosiers football program. And recruiting, I think, right now, we've talked with Matt Weaver about this in recent weeks. Recruiting right now really trending up for the Hoosiers. And they got an in-state commitment and an out-of-state commitment over the weekend. To me, the Joshua Scales commitment, excuse me, Joshua Sales, let me get that correct, is a big one. He's a 2021, so a senior for this season. He's at Brownsburg High School, offensive tackle. Had a lot of schools that offered him, his finalists, Arizona State, Purdue, Kansas, Nebraska, and Michigan State. So he had three Big Ten schools in his list of finalists in addition to Indiana. He also ranked as the number three overall prospect in Indiana as well, per 247 Sports, and he was the 12th commitment in this recruiting cycle for Indiana. Big get, big in-state get. Anytime you beat out Purdue and you beat out some other Big Ten schools, it's a notable commitment. And again, you want to see, just like basketball, you want to keep a good hold on players that you want from the state of Indiana before you go out of the state and recruit others. And of course, with football, you've got to recruit from everywhere. But getting a good in-state senior is obviously a big deal for this Indiana football team. They also got an out-of-state player from Virginia, from Chesapeake Oscar Smith High School. His name is Maurice Freeman. He also sounds like an impressive player as well. Safety is the position that Freeman plays. And another big pickup, 6 foot, 190 pound. He had Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh, and Ole Miss in his final group of schools, but really seemed to develop a coach, a commitment, a relationship, I guess is what I'm trying to say, with Coach Allen. And that, when he was interviewed about why Indiana over some of the other schools, the relationship with Coach Allen and the coaching staff really seemed to come to the forefront. One other football note as well, Indiana Trace Jackson Davis's brother, Taven Jackson, had a scholarship offer from Indiana. Of course, he's a quarterback at Center Grove. He tweeted out yesterday that he got an offer from Cincinnati as well. So other schools jumping in the mix for the younger brother of TJD, that's a football prospect more than a basketball player, basketball prospect, and he adds Cincinnati to his list of scholarship offers as well. Yesterday was the first day of high school football practices, really the first official day of fall sports practices. It was also the first official day that girls golf in high school sports could actually have meets and competition. And Kyle Neddenrip late last night with a tweet that said, quote, the IHSAA expected to release a guidance document tomorrow on return to sports plan, including attendance. Again, could be more restrictive depending on the county. And what I take from that is that Kyle has a source that's saying today the IHSA is going to release apparently some more guidance on getting back to fall sports and returning to sports during COVID-19. And if the plan includes attendance, You would think that the IHSA is going to make a recommendation to its member schools. They could give a percentage of what the stadium holds. They could say no fans at all. They could address it a number of different ways. But keep in mind, and this is what Kyle was writing by, it could be more restrictive depending on the county. No matter what the IHSA guidance is to schools in the state, the school itself, the school system, the school corporation, based on input from the local health department, can be more restrictive. So if the IHSA says you can have 20%, I'm just pulling a number out of the air. If they say you can have 20% of your normal attendance, so take a game that's sold out, whatever that total attendance would be, you can have 20% of those as ticketed customers coming into the game. The local school could say, with input from the health department, no, we're not going to allow fans at all. We were already shaky about playing football, playing fall sports. We're not going to have issues in the stands. We're going to get the kids out there. We're going to allow them to play as long as it continues to be reasonably safe. But we're not going to deal with fans crowding in the stands, even a small percentage of them. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen for any of our local schools, but that's kind of where we're at as we get closer and closer to the season. If this thing is going to kick off on time later this month, and it looks like we're heading in that direction, unless there's some major happening here in the next couple weeks, now you got to get to some of the details. How are you going to handle the media? Where are they going to be? How are they going to be spaced out? What are you going to do with fans? How are you going to sell tickets? Are you going to handle cash at the ticket gates? So many little things. What about concessions that you're going to have to wonder about or figure out? Officials has been another area of concern. Some older crews have opted out of this season for health concerns, which is very understandable. Do you have to replace officials? Are you going to have to move a game to Thursday night because the officials are shorthanded and you just can't get a crew this late for a crew that had to step aside for this year? A lot of things to be figured out still between now and the start of the season for some of our athletic directors locally and obviously across the state. I've talked to some ADs locally. It sounds like most schools locally pretty good on officials for this season. A couple had crews that dropped and had to shuffle and make replacements. I don't know that we're going to get to the point here in far southern Indiana where you see games canceled or moved to Saturday or Thursday to help with officials and getting a crew there. But a lot of stuff to be figured out, to be announced by the IHSA and by local schools and by health departments between now and the start of this football season as far as from a competition perspective later this month in August. All right, a couple updates on Trey Kaufman. Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com, if you're a subscriber, you can read the full story and interview he had with Trey Kaufman yesterday. But essentially, Trey told Jeff that Indiana and Purdue are really up there. Virginia is up there. Those sounded like the three that are recruiting him the hardest right now. But obviously, things could change with North Carolina getting into the mix officially with the scholarship offer. Jeff also discussed that with Trey. And again, if you're a subscriber, you can read that story at the Pegs.com website. Rivals yesterday, Corey Evans, he does a piece called Ranking the Contenders, where he kind of gives just his best guess, putting all what he knows together on where schools stand for a big-time prospect. And of the five schools that he listed, Louisville was number five, Purdue was fourth, Virginia third, North Carolina number two in his ranking of contenders for Trey Kaufman. And Corey Evans had Indiana as the number one contender right now for Trey Kaufman. Here's what he wrote about Indiana. He said, quote, Archie Miller has made in-state recruiting a priority above all else since his hiring 4 years ago. Between Romeo Langford, Trace Jackson Davis, and Christian Lander, Miller has not come up short very often with Hoosier State talent. Miller is hoping to succeed once again whenever it comes to Kaufman, one of the state's best in-state prospects in the 2021 class. Indiana will have a need in the front court that would be answered perfectly by Kaufman. The longer Kaufman's recruitment goes, the less of a certainty he is for the Hoosiers. But until then, they remain the team to beat. That's the little capsule that went with Indiana in the rival story on ranking the contenders for Trey Kaufman. I agree with that completely. The longer his recruitment goes, if it goes beyond the start of the high school season, I think that is not good news for Indiana. So let's see if the Hoosiers can land him, can get a commitment. It sounds like the recruiting process, based on multiple quotes from Trey that are out there, is basically over in his mind. He knows what they offer. He likes what they offer. He needs to decide if that is the spot for him. And so Indiana obviously has recruited him and done everything they can to be in the position that they are in right now. So a couple updates on Trey Kaufman, and nothing big, nothing major, but interesting to see the perspective of some that cover recruiting and talk to these players on a regular basis. One final note, I saw multiple tweets out there yesterday. Brian Snow of 247 Sports, who we have on occasionally, I even saw Dan Dockich, who has the show up in Indianapolis, tweet something similar. But, you know, a lot of people have declared, and some media have written this, that college basketball is dying because a lot of the top players are not going to go to college. They're going to go to this G League program, which is like an NBA trial to get you ready for the professional ranks. We've seen a couple players go overseas to bypass the one-and-done deal right now with the NBA. And that's been used when things like that happen to say, oh, you know, college basketball is not going to attract the level of players that it normally does. College basketball is going down the tubes. The NCAA is a mess. There's all sorts of issues right now. Well, if that's the case, and I get worried about it sometime when I see a star-studded player spurn off college and going to go to the G League or one of these other crazy paths that are out there right now, I don't want to see college basketball die. I don't want to see the regular season and March Madness not be as big time to at least our area right here is what it always is. But a good shot in the arm for college basketball, at least in my opinion, to tell you that, you know what, college basketball is going to be just fine, was exactly what we spent a lot of our show yesterday talking about, and that's how many players in the Big Ten Conference that were considering the NBA, probably had some advice to go to the NBA, could have gotten draft this year, maybe would have gotten selected where they want, and maybe they wouldn't have. But the number of really good players that wanted to come back to the college ranks, that wanted to come back to the Big Ten Conference and did so yesterday, to me, is encouraging that college basketball is not dead. So, again, that's out there, and I love to see college basketball get a good shot in the arm in the Big Ten Conference. And really, college basketball as a whole yesterday got a big shot in the arm. And yes, you could probably say some of it is more uncertainty this year with the COVID-19 pandemic, but good to see college basketball, in my opinion, continuing to thrive, and let's hope that that continues in the future. We'll head to a commercial break. That was the Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us, presented by Coffee Crossing. And, Greg, one of the things to talk about was maybe college football players opting out of the regular season, opting out of the season. We saw the Pac-12 in a story on the Players Tribune put an article together of some demands they wanted to see for this college football season. We saw a player from Virginia Tech opt out and say he's not going to play for the upcoming year. And then just before we came back from commercial break, the reigning 2019 Big Ten wide receiver of the year, Rashad Bateman of Minnesota, he's decided he's not going to play college football in this crazy 2020 season that's scheduled to come up. So wild times continue in sports, specifically college football right now.
Yeah, and you know about the Brady Feeney issue, the IU freshman lineman?
Yes, I did not. I had that on my list to talk about in the headlines today, and we didn't get to it because of time, and I was maybe going to bring it up. I even have the Facebook post of the mother, but he is an IU football player, if you haven't seen it, listeners, and he's not doing real well with the COVID-19 virus that he has.
He's not doing well, and his mom put a post up on Facebook just lamenting how not well he is. And she wasn't attacking IU at all. In fact, she made it clear that I'm not attacking IU. She was saying that your kids, our kids are not safe. Like they can try their hardest, and she's right. They can try their hardest, but this the COVID. What we all know about COVID is you can't stop it just by simply trying hard. You can increase your odds. You have to try hard because that increases your odds. It's like playing blackjack. If you have 16, you hold on 16 because your odds are better of winning if you hold. The difference is this game of blackjack is life or death, and we're trying to increase our odds as much as we can. But you can't. We're not going to be perfect, and so poor Brady Feeney's laid low, and his mom's just heartbreaking. And any parent that would read that and go, "Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable." It's heartbreaking, and it's not. It's I just tweeted out that story that Zach Austin of our paper wrote, and as I tweeted out, this is an IU football story, but not really. This is more of just a COVID story. It's more about the risks that we're all facing. This could happen and is happening anywhere. I mean, Rutgers right now, damn near a third of their team is tested positive. So this is pretty obvious. I think I've been saying this since day one. We might start the football season. I'll give that a maybe. But we're not finishing it. There's just, if all these kids are opting out, A, but B, if all these kids are testing positive right now, and they haven't even started hitting yet. I think they start soon, and maybe they've started hitting, but not really. And kids haven't gone on campus yet. All, fall semester hasn't started yet. There aren't kids to intermingle with. And it's not so much you're going to get sick hitting people on the field. But you're then going to go back to your dorm or your apartment. You're going to your class. You're going to go out and have a burger. You're going to do something. Someone's going to get you sick, and then you're going to go hit, and you're going to make that guy sick, and then he's going to be in the locker next to somebody else, and that guy's going to get sick, and it's going to happen. It doesn't have to happen at every school in America, although it will. But if all it has to happen is that two or three schools per conference, and you're going to shut down the whole thing, and it's just a matter of time. And I understand we've got to try to do this. You don't just roll over and play dead right now, I guess. The risk is, and what a lot of people don't seem to be getting, and I almost didn't get it myself just now as I'm ranting, the risk is not, well, we got to try, don't we? Yeah, okay, but this isn't one of those things that if you guess wrong, your socks get dirty. Or if it doesn't work out, well, our shoes get muddy. No, if this doesn't work out, a lot of people are going to get this killer virus. And even if it doesn't kill them, I forget who it was, but the baseball player, is it Nunez? A major league ball player, a great pitcher, tested positive for COVID, and he's beaten COVID, but it damaged his heart, and he might never pitch again. So young people aren't necessarily dying from COVID, but it can have lasting effects and bad ones, like life-altering effects on you if you're lucky enough to survive. So it's all a matter of risk, and what I'm just tired of hearing people with no skin in the game saying, we got to do this. Yeah, but you're not the one playing, and that's not your son playing. In fact, you don't really even know anybody playing. So I really don't want to hear your opinion on what we got to do. Because what we got to do based on a life and death issue, if you've got no skin in the game, you literally have no reason talking about this. You have none. Because your opinion, and I never say this about opinions in general, but I'm saying this about this one. I don't care how much you want football. If the people that are going to die aren't you, then you need to shut up and let everybody else figure this one out.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let me, along these lines, let me bring this up as well. There have been constant reports going back to sometime in June when college football, college basketball, other sports as well started reporting back to campuses. And I really closely kept an eye on the Big Ten. And for a long time, Big Ten was doing really well. Iowa had some issues at first. Then, of course, other schools, basically every school's had issues. Now, Rutgers maybe being the worst we've seen with not just a Big Ten football team, but maybe in college football as far as the number of cases and the entire team being quarantined. So I think we're all used to getting updates that, hey, this team has a positive. This team is not doing their workouts right now. When you get something in your news cycle every day, it becomes less shocking to you. It becomes less surprising. But the Brady Feeney situation, the IU player that's experiencing some real complications, I have his mother's social media post in front of me. She says, now we are dealing with possible heart issues, ! He is still experiencing additional symptoms, and his blood work is indicating additional problems. When more and more stuff like this starts making it into our news cycle, where it's a young, healthy, otherwise athlete, college football player, that's having some real concerning times, and God forbid we get a report that could happen one of these players dies or has lifelong complications now because of this virus, I don't care how many reports we've had of positives and how many schools shut down their workouts. I think just a handful of more serious things like this Feeney thing or, again, even worse, a death potentially, I don't think it'll take a lot of those reports to shut it down.
Oh, no, right. It's a matter of is how much are we willing to tolerate? And right now we're willing to tolerate breakouts. LSU and Clemson both, I think, had worse breakouts than Rutgers.
Oh, did they?
As far as just – yeah, I mean, sheer numbers. Rutgers right now is at 27 positive tests. LSU and Clemson both had, 30-plus each or over the summer. It was Edwin Rodriguez, not Edwin Nunez, the Red Sox pitcher. I'm sorry, Eduardo Rodriguez. But yeah, the risk that we're able to mitigate is baffling to me because we're asking people to risk their lives really for us, for our entertainment. And I mean, the money involved is crazy, and schools are going to lose. I mean, people are losing jobs left and right. Schools are going to lose. We're seeing schools cut their programs right now. I forget what it was, but yesterday some school announced they were cutting 3 or 4 different sports. And, I mean, that's going to happen everywhere. College sports is not really a profit business because the problem is whatever money you make, you give it a raise to your coach, and so you don't have any profit. So there's no one has any rainy day money in college sports because no one ever thought this day would come where you'd need it. But they need it, and it's not going to be there. Oh, and by the way, here's how the Rutgers outbreak they think happened. There was an on-campus party a week or two ago, or actually a week ago, an on-campus party, maybe just Friday night, and they think a handful of players went to the party, and somebody there was sick. Players got sick, brought it back to the locker room. That's what's going to happen. This is college. You know, kids are – and I got one kid in college, and he goes to Bowling Green. He's got three options. He can do classes in person. He can do classes completely virtual, or he can do classes online or a hybrid of the three. He wants to be on campus. He wants to go back, and he's going to do a hybrid. Some classes will be in person. Some will be online or virtual. He wants to be there, and I'm not going to – I mean, he's 22 years old. I can't stop him. I can advise him, but I'm not stopping him. So I know what kids do, and he's going to go out, and I'm sure he's going to, you know, get on Tinder and meet some girl. And I'm sure it's going to happen. And if he played football, he might get sick and bring it. My point is these kids, they're human, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to do this. The question is, are we going to let them? Like, I'm going to let my son go to school. But are we as a society going to let college football actually happen? Are we going to do that? Because we all know there can't be a person out there. There really can't be. And if you're out there and I'm insulting you, okay. There can't be one person out there that thinks this season's going to finish. Like, there's no way. Like, you don't really think that, do you? So if we know it's not going to finish, and believe me, it's not going to finish, then why are we starting it? Because what is it going to take? Because eventually when we call it off, we're going to call it off with so many casualties. Are we going to look back and say, yeah, you know what? In early August, we probably should just shut this thing down. No, let's kill some people first. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And on top of all this, probably even more interesting right here at home, right here in southern Indiana, you know, we've got high school football practices that began yesterday. And I'm sure that some coaches are still treading lightly, maybe not doing typically what they would do in a early August practice when you've got a scrimmage a couple weeks away and your first game less than 3 Friday nights from now. But you've got to get prepared if you're going to play. You've got to tackle. You've got to go face-to-face and run your stuff. I mean, at some point it's got to get back to normal because the games are going to be normal. There's not going to be social distancing going on the field during the games. It would be impossible. So on top of the college concern, right here in our backyards, in every community across our state, we're pushing ahead, it seems, to high school football. I know that Marion County, the health department there last week, made an initial announcement that there would be no contact high school sports until at least October 1, and then that was walked back a little bit. They're going to reconsider that over the next few weeks before the season officially starts. But I have equal concerns that you've mentioned for college, maybe even more so with our local communities and high school sports. They need them so very badly, but there are so many risks associated with coming back and playing.
Yeah, the IHSA is coming out with a statement apparently today about what they expect to do. And you know, I don't know how comprehensive it'll be. I don't know if they'll be shutting things down or just, you know, giving suggestions, protocols. I don't know. But my understanding is whatever the IHSA is going to say, they're going to not make a blanket statewide thing, because there, you know, Marion County is worse than others, and what we allow here in Marion County or don't allow should not happen in counties where there aren't that, the breakout isn't that much, but it's coming. We all know it's coming, and just it's hard to watch it come. It's hard to see. It's like a semi truck and heading towards a little bitty, you know, Mini Cooper. The truck is the COVID, and the Cooper is any kid we're thinking of. And you know how it's going to turn out. And like we, at any point, we could just pull the Mini Cooper off the road. We could, or we could just let him out there and just see. Maybe he'll slip underneath the tires of that thing. You know, but there's 50 kids. Are they all going to miss that damn semi? No, they're not. But we're going to do it. One thing that discourages me, I mean, so many things discourage me, you can tell, but one thing that discourages me about this is like the Indy 500. I don't know if you saw this, but I wrote about this a couple of days ago. IU Health is not just the largest hospital system in the state, healthcare system, but they are IU Health. They're also IndyCar's medical partner. Like, they are partners with IMS. They are the ones that have the on-track and on-facility hospital care. And anyway, they're a partner. They're in it together. IU Health put a statement out to the Indy Star last week saying they shouldn't have the 500 with fans. This is a terrible idea. Let's not do this. That's IU Health. That's not Greg Doyle saying that. That's IU Health saying it's going to overrun our hospital. Can we please not do this? IndyCar put out a statement saying we consider that premature and incorrect. Oh, because you know better about health than IU Health knows about health. I see. And then the Marion County medical director, Dr. Virginia Kane, is telling all the schools last week on Friday that we're shutting down football until October 1st. There will be no contact sports, football, volleyball, and soccer until October 1st. That happened about 3 o'clock on Friday, and our Kyle Nedrick wrote that. And then when he wrote it, everybody went nuts and got mad, and the superintendents got on the call with Virginia Kane, and superintendents – I mean, shame on our superintendent who should be protecting our kids, but they want the money from football. And so they told Virginia Kane, no, we're going to have football. At least until someone dies, we're going to have football. So she walked it back and said, okay, we're going to give it 2 more weeks, and then we'll make a decision about the season. My point here is that you've got the medical experts are saying, let's not do this. And the people that have money in the game say, no, we're going to do this. And they're just overriding the medical experts. And there's a large portion of the population that thinks that's okay. And it's just not okay. And last thing I'll say about this, the folks like me, and there's a lot of folks like me, that are concerned and worried, and we're not scared. Like, I'm not scared of damn near anything, but I'm worried for people. Folks like me, we have a respect for science and a compassion for people. And if you have both, there's no argument here. Clearly, we're going too fast. If you respect science and you have a heart for people – the people that want to go fast clearly don't respect the science and apparently don't have a heart for people. And if I'm talking about you out there, then look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, why am I pushing so hard for this? Do I not respect the science? Do I not have compassion, empathy for people that aren't me? Otherwise, we got to shut this stuff down. But I'm just discouraged with America and the world too, but I don't live in the world. I live in America. I'm discouraged right here.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. One final quick thing as we let you go. Big Ten for basketball, maybe we're talking about a season, getting excited for a season that doesn't have a chance to happen. Who knows? But if it does happen, it's going to happen with some great players returning to the conference, led by Luka Garza. And, of course, Illinois got 2 players say they're coming back. The Big Ten, once again, it's going to be tough competition for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten was always going to be good, and it looks better. But IU looks good, too. IU looks really good. This is on paper, and we talked to Archie last week. I think I talked to Archie maybe after that visit with you. So we haven't talked about this. But I wrote a story saying, first of all, that Archie's loving his team's reaction to this outbreak. He thinks they've gotten better, and they've bonded together, and they've done well. And so he's really, you know, as happy as you can be at a time like this, he's that happy. And he does have, on paper, he's got the best team he's had. I mean, far and away. He removed the knucklehead factor, and let's be honest, that's no small thing in college sports. He got rid of his knuckleheads, brought in – I mean, he's got a deep, athletic, hungry, motivated, young team that the season, for his sake and IU fans' sake, it'll be a shame if it doesn't happen, because this is the best team they've had. And the Big Ten got tougher today, but Archie's they can compete if it happens.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, always a treat. Thank you so much, and let's plan for it again next Tuesday.
Sounds good to me, Matt. Thank you.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let's head to our final commercial break. We're back to talk IU basketball, probably work in Trey Kaufman. That's a regular topic on this program. And we'll talk about IU's new football commitments as well. Mike Pegram is next of Pegs.com. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of the Pegs.com website joins us to talk IU sports on Tuesdays. And, Mike, I tell you what, Rashad Bateman of Minnesota announcing earlier today that he will opt out of this upcoming college football season. That's a big loss for Minnesota, a great receiver in the Big Ten Conference. And by my count, that's two Big Ten players now. One from Illinois, Ravon Bonner, last week told the Chicago Tribune that he would opt out of the season, and now we see Bateman doing the same for Minnesota. You got to wonder, as we see outbreaks and Rutgers situation and just some concerning points with COVID-19 in sports, if this isn't going to become more common, not just across the country, but with the Big Ten as well.
Yeah, you know, I've never had a great high confidence that we're going to complete a college football season, whether that be 10 conference games or full boat. But and I'm probably less confident over the last week or so. We're still kind of waiting to hear word from the Big Ten on what their schedule will be. I mean, they said 10 conference games, but we don't know who's playing who and what dates and when it will when everything gets going. So just a lot of concerning news out there. You know, football's not really been tested like basketball and baseball. So it could be, you know, worse in those sports given the proximity of the players get to each other.
Mike, isn't there an expectation that possibly today the Big Ten Conference makes an announcement on its football schedule or at least an updated football schedule?
Yeah, we've kind of been on day-to-day on that. You know, they could come today, but I don't know if it's imminent or anything like that. But we've had an expectation that they're close to saying something. And it could be any day of the week now.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. While we're on football, a little IU football recruiting. There have been some positives over the weekend for the football front. And I tell you, the Joshua Sales at Brownsburg, big pickup, not only an in-state player, but someone that was recruited and offered by a number of Big Ten schools, including in-state rival Purdue. Indiana is rolling in recruiting right now, both in-state and out-of-state with prospects, and they got a couple big ones over the weekend to add to that.
Yeah, man, I think they got three of the top 10 players, at least in the 247 rankings, from the state of Indiana already on the board. And they've done really well with some of the out-of-state kids, like Maurice Freeman this weekend. They landed him. He's from Chesapeake, Virginia, out in the spot where he wasn't able to visit Indiana. But virtual visits were good enough for him, and he went ahead and became, I think, the 13th commitment from that class, and it's not like it's going to be a big class. So they've got the majority of their work done and can concentrate on others, you know, a couple more spots and then move on to the next class.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, and you can read about both of those commitments from over the weekend. Matt Weaver, who joins us Fridays to talk IU football, he's got stories and details on both of those commitments. Speaking of stories, on your site, Mike, a big one that I'm sure is getting a lot of traction right now is Jeff Rabjohn's interview with Trey Kaufman. And again, if you're a subscriber, you can read the full deal. But Trey had some positive things to say about Indiana, as he typically has. It sounds like, at least in his mind, it's Indiana, Purdue, and Virginia recruiting him the hardest right now.
Yeah, it's not a big surprise, but to have it formally said is always you know, proof of what you might be thinking, and I'm not 100% sure on, but that's really those three schools. Though North Carolina came in with the offer here in the last week or so, and, you know, we'll see if that goes somewhere. But Virginia has been in there for a while and has a real good academic, you know, angle to it, as well as a great campus. And Tony Bennett is a guy who can show he can connect with Indiana kids as he did with Kyle Guy. So, you know, that one, you know, definitely don't dismiss Virginia there.
Yeah, no question about it. Trey Kaufman, his recruitment continues. The offer from North Carolina, Mike, has a lot of people wondering if it will extend. He never has said this is a date or I definitely want to make a commitment at this point or by this time. But you've got to wonder if that Carolina offer can extend his recruiting as he tries to wait maybe until he could see their campus and have a better opportunity in person to develop a relationship with coaches. And based on some things that Archie Miller said in his little presser, virtual presser last week, I'm not sure that college coaches expect there to be much change in the ability to go recruit or to have recruits on campus anytime soon.
No, but I think we've learned in football that you can still land somebody through just showing virtually what's there. And it's not as big a deal as I thought it would be, but it does help in the end that Trey made several trips for IU games over the winter.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, final question for you. I get so many questions from local people here in southern Indiana about Will Lovings Watts. And, of course, Jeffersonville player. He's hearing from Indiana. You've had a chance to see him in the offseason. Any thoughts on his game or his recruitment, his possibility to eventually get a scholarship offer from Indiana?
I think he's got an excellent chance. He's got improved shooting and handling skills versus what I had seen from him, you know, in the early high school season. And he's always had extraordinary length and good athleticism to go with that length. So, you know, he's on the trajectory to be a Big Ten player, in my opinion, but he does need to just show another step or two, but he's getting close.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Check out the Peaks.com website. Lots of stuff happening right now, especially on the recruiting front. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat.
All right. Take care, Matt. Bye.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. He joins us Tuesdays on IU basketball, IU football, and, of course, a lot of recruiting as well. We've got a couple minutes left. I want to double back to the Brady Feeney situation, the IU football player that we mentioned with Greg Doyle earlier, who is positive for COVID-19, of course, was part of, I guess you could say, a small outbreak with the IU football program that ultimately had to shut down voluntary workouts for basically a two-week period while most or some players were actually quarantined during that player. But I want to read, his mom has made a public Facebook post. It's been reprinted by a number of media outlets or shared by a number of media outlets, and I'm not going to read the full thing, but she goes on to say, quote, "My son was negative when he got tested at the beginning of volunteer workouts. Within 3 weeks, he and multiple others tested positive. His university has done everything right by shutting down workouts and retesting the whole team. Unfortunately, this virus hit my son very hard compared to most of his teammates. Here was a kid in perfect health, great physical condition, and due to the virus, ended up going to the ER because of breathing issues. After 14 days of hell battling the horrible virus, his school did additional testing on all of those that were positive. My son even received extra tests because he was one of the worst cases. Now we are dealing with possible heart issues. He is still experiencing additional symptoms, and his blood work is indicating additional problems. Bottom line, even if your son's school does everything right to protect them, they can't protect them. I pray my son recovers from this horrible virus and can lead a healthy, normal life. Football does not really matter when your child's health is in jeopardy. Think about it. My heart is hurting, and I pray for all of these kids and for the people making decisions about the season." Again, that was Debbie Rucker. That is the mother of Brady Feeney, an IU football player who, again, is dealing with some pretty concerning situations surrounding the COVID-19 virus. And, again, makes you wonder when you see things like that, not just that there were outbreaks or not just that voluntary workouts were shut down or not just that Rutgers has kind of got some exploding cases, but someone is truly experiencing issues with it in the hospital, been to the hospital, breathing problems, not good reports back on some of their testing. It does make you wonder if multiple reports like this from Indiana or from any school could make them reconsider the football season, or could make the conference reconsider the football season. So we'll obviously be following this. And the Big Ten Conference, some people say today, some people think very soon, is expected to come out with a football schedule, a conference-only football schedule, new dates, and what the lineup's going to be for all the Big Ten schools. Pat Forty tweeted earlier today that he wondered if maybe the Big Ten schedule release would be delayed because of the Rutgers situation, the Rutgers outbreak there, as they monitor that and look to see what's going on. But there are all sorts of things going on with sports right now as we get ready for college sports and fall sports. And unfortunately, a lot of the headlines right now just simply are not positive, and that is unfortunate. One other question. I know we always ask you to tweet questions, and I try to work a lot of your questions that you send me on Facebook or on Twitter into the conversation with our guest. But a couple people have said, what are your plans for high school football this year? And yes, we still here at the Big X plan to broadcast games. We'll have more details about that coming up very soon. But we assume that, like we're awaiting some announcements from the IHSA, some guidance on fans in the stands, and then locally what each school does with that guidance, if they're more restrictive or not, we assume that there'll be some guidance on media, where you can be, can't be, how many can be at a game. I think that will look a lot different this year as well. No question about that. One final thing I wanted to mention before we get out of here, a lot of the travel ball stuff, which has been obviously decimated this summer with the COVID-19 virus, but a lot of it's starting to wrap up the few number of tournaments that there actually were this season. And I'm not sure that anybody wants to go to a facility right now with a lot of players and fans and all that, even though things I know are a little different as far as how many people can come in. But a great kind of finale, I guess you could call it, to the travel season, at least for some of the high school kids in Indiana, is this weekend at Finch Creek Fieldhouse, which is in Noblesville. And it's Indy Heat, those Indy Heat Gym Rats, normally EYBL teams, and Indiana Elite. A lot of really good players, Trey Kaufman's team, a number of great players. They're going to be playing each other, kind of a good finale, a battle of the brands it's being built. So I'm sure have more on that coming up later in the week. All right, that wraps things up for today. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.